Proverbs 1 and verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, come with us," remember that, "let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoils. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." Heavenly Father, please help us tonight. And Lord, I know how good the devil is at what he is tried to do throughout all times, but Lord, I think with increased intensity in these last days. And Lord, there's some awful good parents in this church, and Lord, that you've given these parents some sweet young people, and Lord, I know the devil peeks in the windows and sneaks in the back door, and he hates what's going on here, and he's going to fight to try to turn the hearts of the fathers away from the children, the hearts of the children away from their fathers and their mothers. So I pray, Lord, that we strike a blow against the devil tonight, and we help some young people, give them a heart to hear. And Lord, may they pay close attention as we study this out tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I'm going to read just a few, couple paragraphs, maybe a page and a half or so out of the book I wrote, The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ. The teenage Christ, chapter 6, remained subject to his parents, and he, Jesus, went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. Let me just read this. Listen carefully. Except for your relationship with God, speaking to young people, except for your relationship with God, your relationship to your parents is the most important relationship of your teenage years. Well, I want you to get that. Most important. Satan works feverishly to destroy this relationship. He is the original rebel. As one of God's exalted angels, he refused to submit to the authority of God. Ever since, he has carried out his work of rebellion into the homes of this world. Jesus, who deserves to be exalted, humbled himself to the will of his heavenly Father and his earthly parents. Imagine that. The God-man subject unto men, the Creator subject to his creation, sinlessness submitting to imperfect leadership. Sinlessness submitting to imperfect leaders. Well, my mom's not perfect. My dad's not perfect. Well, neither was Mary and Joseph. But Jesus was subject to them. He expects no less from us. Every teenager will choose to follow one of these two examples, the example of Satan or the example of Christ. The difference between Christ and Satan in this area of submission is simple. Satan made the foolish conclusion that rebellion would lead to superiority. Christ, who is the wisdom of God, understood that superiority is the result of submission. And then I list several things here. The superiority of submission. Your relationship towards your parents will affect every other relationship of your life. Submissive teenagers make superior adults. A teenager who refuses to place himself under the authority of his parents will struggle in every area of his adult life. A submissive teenager, let me just list them, I can't read all the scriptures. A submissive teenager becomes a superior citizen. You won't submit yourself to mom and dad, you're not going to submit yourself to the laws of the land. A submissive teenager becomes a superior employee. Nobody wants to pay a smart mouth or a rebel or somebody they have to constantly have buck their authority. A submissive teenager becomes a superior church member. You rebel against mom and dad, you know what? You're a thorn in their flesh. You'll be a thorn in the flesh of some pastor one of these days. You know why? Because authority is a constant. It's not who it is. It's the position that you have a problem with. It's authority. A submissive teenage girl becomes a superior wife because she's willing to submit herself to the oversight of her father. She's one of these days going to submit herself to the oversight of her husband. A superior teenage boy becomes a superior leader. I've never met anybody that made a good leader that wasn't a good follower. Never, ever, 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 ever. You can't follow, you can't lead. And so one of the things that will qualify you young men to one day be considered by God for leadership is him watching you grow up and see how you do fellowship. Because if you can't do fellowship, you can't do leadership. Number six, a submissive teenager becomes a superior Christian. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a serpent, was made in the likeness of man. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And you know what? That's the example of Christ. And if you can't submit, then you cannot be Christ-like, because Christ became submissive, humbled himself, became obedient unto the will of his Father. And because of that, of course, he now is exalted on high. I want to show you something, and I'm going to illustrate it tonight. I want to show you something, and I hope that the visual aid will help you. But one of the things that is so, I think, discouraging to the heart of a people and a heart of a pastor, especially those of us that have spent longevity in the same ministry. You know, we've all been here, a lot of us have been here long enough to watch a generation grow up before us. You know, I came to work here as assistant pastor in 1994. That's getting to be just a few years ago now. And so I've had the opportunity to watch and a whole generation grow up. I think one of the saddest things to watch is to see a young person who has a really great relationship with their mom and dad and watch Satan somehow get into their lives and slowly, in steps, begin to destroy that relationship. Now, young people, listen to me. It happens a little bit at a time. It happens in steps. I'm going to outline those steps for you tonight. I want to show you exactly the process that happens. I'm going to show you from the Scriptures. In the book of Proverbs, it is laid out exactly the steps that Satan takes to turn you from being a young man or a young lady that has a wonderful relationship with your dad, and he's your hero, and a great relationship with your mom, and I mean, you know, she's your best friend in the world. How in the world can a young person run around like that at 7, 8, 9, sometimes 10, 11, 12, and in a 2 or 3 or 4 year span have utter disdain towards their parents? I mean, utter disdain for their parents. How in the world does that happen? And you know, we watch it sometimes. We see the slow transformation. We all, you know, rush in as best we can, and we try to help, and we try to turn it. But sometimes young people, everybody around you can want it for you and want to save you and help you, but at some point you've got to have enough wisdom to see and understand the process and what Satan is doing so that you can stop it. Because at some point it is going to be your decision. You know, there may be a set of rules that you have to follow for a while, but at some point you're going to decide how your heart is towards mom and dad. And so you're going to have to guard your heart in this area and be very careful. I want to get those chairs if I can. I want to show you something that I think will be a help to you. And I want all of you young people to pay close attention to what I'm going to show you. See, some of you have already gotten off in this area of your life. You've gotten off the right road, and you don't even really realize it yet because it's just in the beginning stages of it. All right, let's see here. I think I'm going to bring them over here, Brother Nathan. Let's put three here, and then here. There you go. And then we'll put two here. Very good. Thank you. That's great. All right. How many of you have ever driven out of St. Louis coming towards Indianapolis? 70? All right. I've done this twice in my life. I don't know what it is. But I think it's 70. Is it 70 and 57 that runs together there, coming out of St. Louis, going across the bridge? Twice in my life, I have taken off on 70 and 57. But at some point, 10 or 12 miles outside of St. Louis, across the river, they split. And I don't know what it is about that split, whether I'm just not paying attention, whether it's just poorly marked, or whether, I don't know why. Have you done it before? I have, at some point, twice, thought that I was on I-70 heading to Indy and discovered several miles down the road that I was on 57 heading to Chicago. Now, folks, I've been to Chicago. I don't want to go back. I realized it both times. And by the way, one time I pulled over and got a map out, tried to figure out a way to get from 57 over to, you know what, here's the way. Turn around, go back, catch 70, because there is no shortcut. Once you made that mistake, you turn around and you backtrack. That's the best way. Now, I say that because I think there's some young people in here, and you know what? You think you're on the right road, and you're not. You've just taken the exit. And it's not real obvious yet, maybe to you, but it's pretty obvious, at least a little obvious, to people around you. And people come to you and say, hey, you're on the wrong road. No, I'm not. And you know what? For a lot of the miles of travel, I didn't think I was either. I thought I was on 70. I thought I was still heading towards Indy. But you know what? The devil had gotten me on the wrong road. Now, listen, it just doesn't happen in your teenage years. I want some of you elementary young people to listen to me. The devil's going to start working on you at a young age. He wants to start poisoning the relationship that you have with your mom and dad. And you need to listen very carefully, because one of the reasons God has given you a pastor is to be able to take the Word of God and to show you some things that, so that you can be wiser, so that when Satan begins to try this process in your life, even if he hasn't started it yet, he'll try it at some point. And he's going to try to get you headed, your heart heading away from your parents instead of towards your parents. And so listen very carefully as I break this thing down to you, because there's three steps, or four steps, I believe, that gets a young person from being a child with a heart for mom and a heart for dad and a love for mom and a love for dad to being a teenager. And by the way, I'm going to tell you what's at the end of this road. I'm going to show you what's at the end of this road. I've watched quote-unquote Christian young people. I've watched them curse their Christian parents, rebel against their Christian parents, speak evil against their parents, just can't mention mom and dad's name without a snarl on their face and hatred in their heart. Now, I want to know, where did that come from? Does anybody for one minute believe that you can stand and explain to me how that could come from God Almighty? And so, of course, those of us that know the Bible know that it does not. Now, let me just break these four steps down with you quickly. And the way I'm going to see if I can show this to you, because I believe that a good kid with a right heart for their parents, I believe that they seldom, if ever, matter of fact, I'm going to say they never, get off track in that area of their life without some assistance. Evil communication corrupts good manners. And so, you feeling better? All right, good. You're not going to puke? Did you hear about this morning?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was worse watching it than it was hearing about it, I think. I'm going to use Brother Nick here. Do you mind being a help to me tonight? And you don't have a driver's license?
No.
Well, I'm going to pretend you do now, okay? And there you go. This is your new car. Look at this.
Oh, wow.
Wow, nice, huh? Minivan, whatever boy wants, you know. Sit right there, driver's seat. All right, man, you're in the driver's seat, all right. Hold on here. There you go. All right. Okay. There he is. And you know what? He's driving, and he's heading, and his heart and his direction is toward his parents. It's towards the Lord. It's, you know, he's got a good heart towards those things. Got mom and dad's trying to raise him right. He's got a good relationship with them, and he's doing okay. But let me tell you how I believe this happens, okay? Somewhere along the line between where you're at, and you're a seventh grader, right? This is where it starts. I'm just going to tell you, okay? I'm going to be honest with you, bud. Somewhere around, I don't know, 10, 11, or 12, it seems like, that you're driving the car and you think you're heading in the right direction, you believe you're on the right road, but if you're not careful, now I don't know if they still do this anymore, I don't see them as much as I used to, but back in my day, it wasn't unusual to see hitchhikers on the side of the road. How many of you have been that hitchhiker on the side of the road a few times in your life? Yeah, I've hitched, I have. Yeah. My brother David made a career out of it, you know, but... we could tell stories, amen. But you're driving along, and there's somebody standing on the side of the road, kind of got their thumb out, and you're a good guy, so you think, you know, I'll pick him up. I want you to picture this. Because this young man right here, if he keeps this car empty, or if he puts in that car the right kind of friends, he's going to stay on the right road. He's going to stay on the right road. He's going to get to Indianapolis. He's not going to get sidetracked. He's not going to get distracted by somebody who's trying to distract him so that he'll take an exit without realizing he took the exit. You know, he's probably going to be fine if he either drives alone or you drive and only put the right kind of people in your vehicle. But see, because you're going to control to a certain extent who's in that vehicle with you, who's in your life with you, who has influence over you. At some point, mom and dad's going to try to manage it. But you're going to be making some final decisions, and you're going to have more power to make those decisions the older you get, you see. So there's going to be all kinds of people wanting to hitch a ride, okay? And you're going to be careful. Now, what we see in this first point here, let me give you the very first thing that happens in the heart of a young person. The first thing that the devil tries to attack in the heart of a young people is this. He tries to use the tool of disloyalty. You see, disloyalty is the first step. Disloyalty takes you away from your parents. Now, I want you to notice, folks, in this portion of Scripture, the Bible says, "My son," in verse 8, "hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." Now, what I'm going to show you in Proverbs is this. In the four places we're going to go in Proverbs, and stay with me here, okay? You're going to have to interact with me here a little bit. You're going to have to keep your mind with me a little bit. But the four places I'm going to take you where there is a portion of Scripture encouraging you to keep your right relationship with your mom and dad, okay? "My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. They shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." Every time we see this encouraged in the book of Proverbs, it is followed by a description of some person that's going to try to come into your life and try to destroy that relationship. Now notice, listen folks, verses 8 and 9 are not placed right before 10 by accident. The first hitchhiker that, if you're not careful, will try to hitch a ride with you is the person that I call the enticer. Okay, so I'm just going to randomly pick somebody. I'm sorry, but you're the enticer, bro, all right? Now, here's this guy, and he's got his thumb out. He's just hitching, okay? And, you know, he don't look like a bad guy. I mean, come on. You don't want him having to walk clear to Indianapolis, so you pull over, and you're going to get in the back seat, okay? You're not going to get in the front seat. I'm saving that front seat. That front seat's filled by number 4. Pay attention to me. But he's going to get it, and he's going to seem like a pretty good kid, you know, and he probably in a lot of ways is. But you see, he's got one problem in his life. The problem that he has is that he is not loyal to his mom and dad. You see. Now, what he's going to do is he's going to try to take the disloyalty that he's surrendered to, and he's going to try to get you to surrender to that same attitude towards your parents. Now, listen very carefully. An enticer is the kind of guy that he's not overt about it, and in most areas he seems like he's pretty squared away. You see, folks, if you do a study on the enticer, the weapon that an enticer always uses is words. He just talks to you. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." The next verse says, what's the first 3 words of verse 11? "If they say." And so what they use is words. Colossians 2:4, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Okay? Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." And so he's just going to use words. That's basically all he does. He just kind of starts saying things, little comments about his dad, little comments about his mom. And don't they get on your nerves sometimes? And I don't think they really understand us. And so what he's doing, and he's going to be the guy that just talks to you. And as he talks to you, he's going to distract you, and you're going to think that you're traveling on the right road, but while he's talking to you, he's helping to steer that car. He's starting to get you to go home at nights and begin to kind of look at your parents with a little bit of a critical spirit. You'll probably never say anything to them. Your attitude won't change a lot. You won't start being disobedient right away. But just these words that he says starts having influence in your life. And you know what? He's usually a real nice guy, And you know what? You enjoy being friends with him and you start building a relationship with him. But at some point, he's going to force you into a situation. Watch this. Listen to me, young people. He's going to force you into either choosing to be loyal to him or loyal to your mom and dad. Okay? And that's what an enticer does. You see, an enticer is really not against loyalty. He's for it. He just wants to have your loyalty himself. See, it puts him on some kind of a high. You know, he thinks he's something if he can get a group of guys to be more loyal to him than they are loyal to their mother or loyal to their father. He doesn't have a right to be the authority in your life, but he wants to be the authority in your life. And so again, he's probably in most instances a pretty decent kid, but he's just got this sin problem in his life. At some point, he's become disloyal to his parents, and he's going to try to poison you with that same disloyalty. Now, young people, listen to me. If you can catch it right here and pull the car over and toss him out, you're going to be on the right road. Now, notice what I said that he used. He uses words. Now, listen to me, young people. There's a reason that your pastor says what he does from this pulpit about technology, and I'm not going to stop saying it. Your young people get college age, they're getting ready to go off to Bible college, you want to get them a cell phone, I'm saying amen. I'm not trying to run your lives. If parents around here make decisions a little different than I do, you're the ones that's going to decide, okay? But I'm just telling you, the technology has made it so that words are gotten to this young man a lot more easily than they used to. You say, well, I watch my kid, I watch who they hang around. And they're sitting over there doing this, and you have no idea who they're texting and what they're saying. Well, I check it. Let me say this to you, parents. Most parents in here, your teenage young person knows more about that cell phone than you do. Okay, when me and Cheryl went and bought our cell phones, we made sure that we bought the same cell phone that Tabitha had. All three of us got the same phone so she could go home, learn how to use it, and then teach us. Amen. Yeah, amen. That's, you know, they just, I don't know what it is. They got it. Okay? And what I'm saying is this. The devil knows this. And so you have to be careful. The texting and all of these other things and access and getting into their ear and getting their ear and then beginning to work towards building and infecting a young person with just disloyalty. Okay? Now, listen to what I'm going to say here. If you have to be disloyal to your parents to be loyal to one of your friends, then they are not your friends, they are an enticer. If you have to be disloyal to your parents to be loyal to one of your friends, then they are not your friends, they are an enticer. See, an enticer doesn't want you to listen to Pastor Jerry Ross right now. They want to be that authority. They don't want you to listen to your pastor and say, God told me to listen to my preacher and he's preaching the Bible, I'm going to do what he says. They're going to be whispering on the edges after this message. They're going to be out in the parking lot. They're going to be out on the front step, rolling their eyes and saying, oh, can you believe he said that again? Won't think we can handle it. We should be able to have this. We should, you know, that's what they do. You see, they don't really want to pastor, but they still want to pastor you. Okay? They want to have more authority in your life. Listen, they want you to be more loyal to them than they are to me. More loyal to them than they are your mom and dad. And so be very careful. If you have to be disloyal to your parents, to be loyal to your friends, then they are not your friends, they are an enticer. Now an enticer will distract you long enough for you to miss your exit, long enough to get you on the wrong road. And usually at this point, you don't even know you've changed destinations. That's step number one, disloyalty. Disloyalty is taught to you by an enticer, and they use words. Okay, now, you think you're on the right road still. He's keeping you distracted, and you look ahead, and here's another hitchhiker right here, all right? Now, this hitchhiker, and look at this fine, upstanding-looking young man. I mean, come on, you can't leave him on the side of the road. So pull the car over. Come on, pull over. There you go. All right, let him in the back. Now, sit on the back. There you go. He slipped in there. Now, watch this, folks. Now, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7, you're still there. Notice this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, notice that verse comes right before verse number 8 and 9. Now, Disloyalty eventually leads to disobedience. So disloyalty is the first step, and that's taught to you by the enticer. But disobedience is taught to you by the fool. Okay, now, I'm going to tell you, I've never seen a good kid like this get absolutely hair-brained, demon-possessed, crazy, wickedly rebellious against their parents where you can't find these two rascals in the car with them. All right. Now, these are good guys. But I'm not going to treat you very good in the next few minutes, all right? Because this is the enticer and this is the fool. Now, you say, well, preacher, an enticer uses words to teach disloyalty. What does a foolish person use? A foolish person uses his example to teach you disobedience. Okay? Now, this guy, for the most part, does everything right. He's just got a bad heart and he just got the words. But this guy's graduated past just being an enticer, and now he's becoming a fool. And he doesn't just talk down authority, he disobeys authority. You see, he wants to show you that you don't always have to listen. He wants to show you that it's kind of cool every once in a while to just defy mom or defy dad. You see, now folks, listen to me. Disobedience can easily be defined as choosing foolishness over fellowship. Let me say it again. Disobedience can easily be defined as choosing foolishness over fellowship. The weapon of the enticer is his words. The weapon of the foolish is his example. Watch this. What I say. Watch me. Watch me. And maybe you go to his house and his dad tells him to do something and he kind of back talks his dad a little bit and says, well, I'll do it later. And then he doesn't do it. And then the dad kind of just throws his hands up in a huff and don't know what to do and walks out. And then he turns around and looks at you with that smile like, see? See? Okay, his mom comes in and says, all right, guys, what I need you to do next? Mom, not now. Come on. I'll do it later. And then mom kind of doesn't know what to do, so she goes off in a huff, and then he looks over and kind of catches your eye and, see? See, he's been to your house, and every time your dad says something, you go and do it, and every time your mom says something, you can do it. And he kind of snickers and laughs when you do that. Makes you feel about that big. And he'll use phrases like, well, what are you, daddy's boy? What are you, mama's boy? Yeah. Well, mom and dad said everything, you just jump. What are you, their slave? Watch me. You don't have to always obey. What are they going to do if you don't? And so this, next thing you know, you're driving in the road, and you're not only have a disloyalty to your parents, now you're all of a sudden saying, hey, if I'm going to hang around these guys, be accepted in... And with this crowd, I can't just be always doing everything mom and dad says. Matter of fact, I've got to figure out. Now, at first, what you'll do is you'll do it overtly. You'll just say yes, okay, yes, dad, and then you know what? You'll figure out a way not to do what he said. Yes, mom, and then you'll figure out a way not to do what he said. But just quietly in your heart, you begin to develop a disobedient heart. Now, if you have to be disloyal to your parents to be loyal to your friends, then they are not your friends, they're enticers. And if you have to disobey your parents in order to obey your friends, they're not your friends, they're fools. And so he's driving down the road, he was heading in the right direction, he's heading towards mom and dad, his heart's right. He got a hitchhiker by the name of enticer that teaches him disloyalty. He gets a hitchhiker by the name of foolishness that teaches him disobedience. But wait a minute, he's not done. Come on up here. You got to watch this guy. He just looks suspicious, you know. In fact, I don't even know why you'd pick up a guy that looked like this, you know. I mean, he's ugly. And so you pull over, and here's another guy. By the way, by this time, these guys are like, pull over, I know that guy. Come on, man. And they do know this guy. They do know this guy. And so you jump in the car there. And now he's got a third rider with him. Now, folks, if you will, go over to Proverbs chapter number 19. And let me share the next portion of Scripture. By the way, I jumped over the last portion. I kind of didn't do it. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4 because I want you to see where disobedience is taught by the fool. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 1, hear it again. Here it is again. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. What does it say? Get wisdom. Get understanding. forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting. Get understanding. Now, the wise thing for you to do is to keep your heart towards your parents. The wise thing for you to do is to obey mom and dad. But you see, the foolish man, he does not want you to choose wisdom. He wants you to choose foolishness. He's done it. Now he wants you to do it. And so he's going to try to influence you in that area. Now go over, if you will, to Proverbs chapter number 19 and verse number 25. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 25. Notice this next guy that just got picked up and put in the car there. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 25 says this: "Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge." Now notice what follows this: "He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach." Let's keep reading. "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that caused thee to err from the words of knowledge. The ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for the scorners, and stripes for the backs of fools." And it gives the warnings there. Now notice this. Verse 25, dealing with scorners. Verse number 28, referring to an ungodly witness that scorneth judgment. Now listen to me. A scorner is the next step and the next person that you'll begin to hang around. You see, this guy's really not all that bad of a kid. He's just got a heart problem with mom and dad, and he's not loyal to his parents, and he wants you to learn to be disloyal. This guy is disobedient. Not only disloyal, but disobedient. But this guy's taking it a step further. Now listen very carefully, folks, because this is where we start seeing it at the church. This is where it starts becoming visible. But it didn't start now. It started way back. A scorner's attitude, disloyalty, folks, leads to disobedience, and disobedient then leads to, here's the next word, disregard. Disregard. That's where a young person not only disobeys their parents, but they start disregarding their parents. They choose arrogance over sweet submission. The enticer teaches you disloyalty. The fool teaches you disobedience. The scorner teaches you disregard. Disregard. Now, this is where a young person begins to become openly rebellious to his parents and to other godly authority figures. Now, folks, I don't have time to take you through and study everything that the Bible says about a scorner, book of Proverbs, but everybody in here ought to know it, and we've preached it from this pulpit more than once. A scorner, according to Proverbs, is one who publicly holds authority in derision. One who vocally scoffs, vocally mocks, vocally challenges their parents and other authority figures. One who disregards authority, laughs off their instruction and warning. Those who participate in this, Proverbs 1:22 says, they delight in their scorning. They get to the point where they think this is sport. This makes them cool. They love it. And they see rebellion and sin as sport. Proverbs chapter 10, 23 and chapter 26, verse 19. This person wastes, notice what the verse said here, he that wastes his father and chases away his mother. This person wastes his father and chases away his mother. The young person who disregards his parents chooses to count his parents, they begin to become totally worthless in his eyes. They waste the wisdom, they waste the relationship, they waste what's available that you have an opportunity to have with your dad. They chase away their mother. Listen to me. They see no value in working at maintaining a good relationship with mom and dad. Watch this. They isolate themselves from their parents. Spend a lot of time hiding in their room. They avoid conversations. Mom and dad want to spend some time with them. They just have these short, clipped little answers, and as soon as they can, they get away from mom and dad. Why? Because mom and dad's worthless. Because mom and dad doesn't know anything. Because mom and spending time with them is a waste of time. I want to be with my friends. They avoid conversation. They break fellowship. They get out of the house as often as they can for as long as they can. You see, they have become convinced by the scorner under whose influence they have fallen that their parents are old and ignorant and worthless and out of touch and bothersome and boring. And when you get these three guys riding with this guy, I'm going to tell you something. This guy's headed for destruction. Every once in a while, when a guy, kid gets to this point, God does something in their heart. And I've watched it. Thank God I've watched it. Where he realizes, maybe in a tender moment, maybe at a church camp somewhere, maybe at a youth conference somewhere, a preacher, God uses a preacher anointed with power. And I'm praying God will use this preacher tonight. Because some of you already got some of these characters in your car. And you're running down the road with them. And although we don't see a whole lot outwardly yet, there's a lot of things inwardly that's wrong. And see, what the devil wants to do is destroy your relationship with your daddy and your relationship with your mommy. He wants to destroy that because he knows if you'll listen to them, you're going to get to where you ought to get to. You got good parents, you're going to be fine. Okay? But if he can get you to not only become disloyal and disobedient, but to begin to disregard their position in your life. Disregard them literally as human beings. I've watched young people treat mama and dad so horribly sometimes. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. They won't do it in front of me more than once. Mom and dad, if you surrendered, I haven't. I'm not going to have a young person sit in this church and treat their mom and dad like dirt, not without me getting in the middle of it. You say it's none of your business. I'm going to make it my business. You want to do it in home, then you know what? That's your home. You're going to do it around this church. And I mean, I'm not going to let that go on. But you know what's so sad is, listen, it's not the actions that I'm really trying to get stopped. It's the heart that I want to see changed. Because the actions are just a result of the influence that you've allowed these characters that you've picked up along the way. And by the way, by this time, you're figuring out you're not heading to Indy. You're heading to Chicago. And you know what? They're telling you how great Chicago is. And boy, you're going to be a lot glad you're on this road. Don't turn around. Now, listen to me. Right at this point, you still got a choice. Right at this point, until you pick up that last one, you still got a choice here. Okay? You can pull this car over because you got the steering wheel and you got the keys. Now, young person, you all look right up here. Some of you are letting other young people drive your car and control your life. And you think you can't get control back, but you can get control back tonight. You just hit the brakes. You just yank it off over on the curb. You just open the doors and say, out. Yes, but they're my friends. No, they're not. I told you they're not. They're not. They're enticers and they're fools and they're scorners. They're not your friends. By the way, let me tell you who your friends are. Mama. Dad. Mom and dad don't tell you always what you want to hear, but they always tell you what you need to hear. They don't tell you what you need to hear. They tell you what you want to hear. So they're not your friends. Do a study in the book of Proverbs on the subject of friendship. And you know what you'll find? These three never display one Bible character trait of true friendship. And yet, you'll defend them. Well, they're my friends. No, they're not your friends. Get that out of your head. The devil put that in your head. They're not your friends. Pull the car over. Pull the car over. Say, out. Then go to the next exit. Turn around. Head back the direction you came. Get back on the right road and get start out. And I've watched kids at 14 figure out I'm on the wrong road and I got the wrong character and kicked them out of the car. I've watched 15-year-olds do it. I've watched 16-year-olds do it. I've watched 17-year-olds do it. I've watched 18-year-olds. Listen, as long as you're here, you can still stop that car and you can still go. But I want to show you the last step. And by the way, this is a scary thing. Proverbs chapter number 20, if you look at verse number 20, you see, folks, it's not just the scorner that or the enticer that wants in your car to teach you disloyalty. And it's not just the foolish one that wants to teach you disobedience by the example, and not just the scorner that wants to teach you disregard by open rebellion. And they say, watch me, watch. I'll openly rebel and get by with it. Now, everybody look up here. One of the things I'm not going to take the time to teach, but you ought to study and understand. If you study the book of Proverbs, there's only two things that I can do with a scorner. According to the scripture, I can smite them and I can cast them out. That's the biblical instruction. That's it. Okay, preacher, I want to help this scorner. Okay, this is how you help them. Smite them and cast them out. That's it. You get to the point where you will stand up and openly rebel against godly authority. Let me tell you something. You are so smart that you need to go find your own way in the world.
Okay? Shame on you. Shame on you. Well, we need to manage this situation. No, we don't manage it. Cast out the scorn of the simple, beware. See, there's other people watching this guy drive this car. He's not on this road alone. By the way, mom and dad, listen, it's not just your kid that we're trying to help here. It's not just your kid. I know it's quiet in here. It needs to get quiet. But you've got to put yourself in our situation. You need to put yourself in my situation. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to find some young people that want to get on the right road and go the right direction. And I'm not going to let a bunch of scorners hang around the fringes and try to destroy our young people. I will go to war for our young people. Now you say amen, but what if that scorner's your kid? It's easy to say amen until all of a sudden they're a blood relative. Okay, grandma and grandpa, it's your grandson or your granddaughter. You're gonna hit the door of the church and leave in a huff and be mad? Because Pastor Jerry said, I love you with all my heart, but you know what? You are not going to openly rebel and walk into our school or our church and openly rebel and teach open rebellion and disobedience and disloyalty. No, you're not going to do that. Okay? And what I want you to understand is this. You know what? Y'all want to get mad at authority. He's driving the car. He's picking them up. He's listening to them. Nobody wants to see the hundreds of times that you come in love. They just want to see the one time that you finally have to come with tears in your eyes and say, sorry, that's it. If you want to destroy yourself, destroy yourself, but you don't get to destroy a bunch of good kids with you. Okay? Now listen, it's tough. I know it's tough. But I'm going to tell you, I've watched Christian schools and I've watched youth groups being taken over by a group of scorners. And nobody in authority had the guts to do anything about it. And next thing you know, you don't have two or three. You got a whole group of them. Okay? And so you got to watch this very carefully. Now, let me show you. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. Notice this. What it says here. There's one last hitchhiker. You're next in line. Come on up. I hate to do this to you. This is terrible. But you know what? This isn't the enticer, and this isn't the fool, and this isn't the scorner. This is some type of demonic. Sorry, bud. Your dad's back there. Amen. This next hitchhiker, honestly, folks, I'm not picking on him. He's a good guy. But is the devil himself. You let those three guys. This is hard. Just get in your seat, devil. All right? You let these three guys get in the car, and you know the next one you pick up, you're going to pick up something that's not even human. Now listen to what I'm going to have to say here. Because, buddy, at some point, you open doors. Amen? Brother Smith taught us. You let these guys help you open doors that you think you can shut whenever you want to shut them, but next thing you know, you got somebody in the car that's not letting you shut them anymore. And there may be times, brief times, where you think, man alive, how did I get here and why am I going this? But you know what? Despite those misgivings, your foot just keeps mashed down to the floorboard. And you keep that accelerator going. And you know what? It's not you doing it anymore. He's got his foot over on your foot, and he's helping you drive. Now listen to what I'm going to say here. This last step, not disloyalty, not disobedience, not disregard, but disdain. Utter disdain. You see, disdain causes you to turn your back on your parents and dooms you to destruction. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. Did you read that? It says, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be. Is that the same shall be from the same God, same inspired scripture that wrote shall be saved in Romans chapter 10, verse 13? Whosoever called upon the Lord shall be. So if we're saved, then this shall be is right too. Whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Let me take you over to chapter 30, Proverbs chapter number 30. And by the way, this gets sad. I talked to Ron Williams at Hesabah House. Talk to Jerry McDonald at Calvary Boys Home. Those places aren't populated by a bunch of kids they got off the street that are raised in druggy homes. Those places are populated by kids that came out of independent fundamental Baptist churches and independent fundamental Baptist families who get so demonically influenced that at some point they don't just have a disloyalty towards mom and dad or disobedience, disregard. They have utter disdain for them. And Satan is the one who teaches utter disdain.
Now look, if you will, at Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 11. Proverbs 30, verse number 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that is pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from their filthiness. Listen, they're clean, they're right, they're pure. They aren't going to listen. There's nothing wrong with me. Something wrong with mom and dad and everybody else, but not me. There's a generation, how lofty are their eyes. Their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are as swords, their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy among men. Now, if you will, look down at verse number 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. Now, listen very carefully to what I'm going to say, young people, and just hear me out here. The enticer teaches disloyalty. The fool teaches disobedience. The scorner teaches disregard. Who is that waiting up ahead? Who's that hooded presence of evil that stands by the road with his thumb out? Who's the next rider that wants a ride? That last passenger you pick up. What will be the last passenger that you pick up before you're destroyed? Satan is the one who teaches you utter disdain. At this point in your journey, if you're not careful, you very well may reach the point of no return. At this point, a young person's regression into rebellion, I've watched something demonic lay hold upon a young person. I'm just saying this, folks. I don't like saying this. I don't take any joy in saying it, but this part gets scary. It's scary because from here on, often a young person ceases to just be disloyal or just disobedient or just have disregard, but they at this point are filled with a devilish hatred that enters into the heart of the young people, not just for their mom and dad, but for all authority in their life. They're egged on by the enticer, the fool, and the scorner. Now Satan himself is in the car. They begin to curse their parents, condemn their parents. They cannot look upon mom and dad without mockery dancing in their eyes. Some even go so far as to begin to verbally, emotionally, and sometimes even physically assault their mom and dad. They eye their parents with utter and complete disdain. You say, preacher, what happened? What happened? Watch this. Watch this. When this, and I've used, Nick, you've been very kind. You guys have been very kind to let me use you this way. But when this young man gets to this point, I want you to remember, it probably wasn't 2 years ago that Daddy was his hero. It probably wasn't 2 years ago that Mama, you know what? The sun rose and set on Mama. He loved his mother. And what I'm saying, young people, is listen to me. Some of you, you're on a road, you're on a wrong road, and you don't even know you're on that wrong road. Some of you know you're on that wrong road and you've got more of a loyalty and more obedience to the knuckleheads in the car with you, but you got to remember something. At this point, you've got the foot mask. You think you're heading to Chicago, but there's a brick wall of judgment right up ahead. Because the Bible doesn't say, let me tell you what happened. God starts letting those eagles start circling. Come on. Come on. God says, you know what? You're only going to go so far when it comes to your relationship with your mom and dad and abusing that relationship. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. I'm going to tell you, Joel, preacher, I know, but I know guys, young people that are getting away with it. Look right up here. Don't ever, ever, ever mistake the grace of God and the mercy of God and an extension of grace. Don't ever mistake the fact that God's let you travel a ways down this road. Don't ever mistake that for the fact that God is not going to honor His Word. He will honor His Word. He said, if you obey your parents and honor them, I'll see to it that it's well with you. I'll see to it that you live long on this earth. But don't you put these people in your car and then run over the top of your mom and dad on the way to rebellion and expect that things are going to go well and that you're going to live long on this earth, because God's not a liar. God's not a liar. Are you getting this? Watch this. Any young person, sooner or later at this point, listen, folks, I want you to tell you this. At some point, God always steps in. God will not forever allow any Christian young person to travel to the end of this road without running smack dab into a brick wall of judgment. The Bible said this, His light shall be put out in obscure darkness. He said this, the ravens of the valley are gathering, the young eagles are circling above. The rebellious and ruthless eye of the rebel will not repent will be plucked out. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's what the Bible says.
Now, we've got some fantastic young people here. I mean it. I'm going to tell you something. I'll put the young people in this church up against any young people anywhere in America. And I'm not just saying that. I've been to some places in America. I've seen youth groups. I've seen kids. But the best of the best of the best of you can start getting steered down the wrong road. I mean the best of the best of the best of you can just quietly, not even realize. I mean, you walked into church really thinking that this area of your life was pretty good, at least decent, I mean better than most, and I'm on the right road, and during the preaching of this message, God's come alongside of you and said, son or daughter, you're on the wrong road. You're just on the wrong road. And by the way, take a look in your rearview mirror. You got some people in the car with you that's going to end up talking you into keep going down this road, and talking you into picking up other people that shouldn't be in this car. And if you don't heed the warning that's brought from the pulpit by your pastor tonight, it could be 6 months or a year, 18 months, and you could do something that's going to disgrace your life and disgrace your family. Are you listening to me? Thank you, gentlemen. You can go ahead and be seated. Let me ask you a question. By the way, if I've got them written here, and I won't do it. If I was preaching away from here, I would. But I could name names and give illustrations of people that you know. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Young person, look up here and listen to me. Where are you? Are you on the right road? Do your parents have your loyalty? Is there anyone in the world that has gotten their loyalty, your loyalty that should be given to your parents, have stolen that? Do your parents have your obedience? Or have you decided you've reached an age where, you know what, it's optional whether or not you listen to mom anymore or dad anymore? Do your parents have your respect? Do they have your honor? Here's the question that encompasses all those questions. Does your parents have your heart? Do they have your heart? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you take the truths that are preached tonight, that you'd help our young people. I think for the most part, Lord, I really mean this. This message very well is probably more preventative than practical at this point, but as I said a lot of times, Holy Spirit, you know people, you know the condition of the heart in a way that we can never know it. There may be a young person right now that I think is right smack in the middle of the right road, heading in the right direction, and secretly, the devil's already smuggled some people on board, and they're getting off at the next exit. God, I pray, Lord, that you'll allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to their heart. Help them to listen to that one who always makes little remarks of disloyalty about their mom and dad. Help them to mark that person and avoid them. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Help them to recognize those young people that may be around them at times that display disobedience, that foolish young person that's foolish enough to think it's okay to disobey their mom and dad. May they mark those young people, may they avoid them, and let them have no influence in their life. I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to point out and pick out the scorners. And they're easy to pick out because they're so shameless. They will publicly and caustically criticize and scorn authority. May the young people in this church just have enough sense to mark those young people and completely stay away from any influence they would have in their life. Lord, I want to pray for our young people. I want to pray for our parents. Lord, I pray, dear God, that a young person who maybe up to this time have thought that mom and dad are the problem and the enemy would understand that there is an enemy, but it's not mom and it's not dad. The devil is trying to destroy something sacred and something precious and something that's God-placed and natural and normal. That little baby that's born, that's weeks from the hospital and just settling into a new home, their eyes always
search when they hear Daddy's voice. Their smile, a special smile, is reserved for Mama. Lord, you've graced children with a love, a natural love for Mom and Dad. I pray, dear God, that you wouldn't let the devil destroy that in the hearts of our young people. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's